Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Rebecca, and I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anna, who's going to speak with us a little bit about her experience with the Process of Commitments workshop this past weekend. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hey. So thank you for being with us to talk about this powerful workshop. Do you want to just sort of launch into what some of the things you saw and enjoyed about the workshop?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, pleasure. And powerful, is it, huh? That as I was, just sitting here, breathing and waiting for the call to start, what dropped in was how, so a couple of months ago, Ashwini wrote a brilliant musings article about the difference between practice, doing practices as content and practicing the process of presence. So the difference between doing practices, like checking off my recording and listening, checking off my meditation, and not seeing that we're seeing through conditioned mind, we're not looking at it. We're not practicing being in a process of presence. And it felt like the workshop on Saturday was a direct experience how-to of training to be in awareness with commitments. It's like in awareness practice, we train so much with commitments, and we often say that we make a commitment and then we get to see everything that comes up to stop us from keeping that commitment, right? And this workshop was like bringing the whole process of commitments into awareness. Go ahead.
Just to reflect some of that powerful stuff. So so the point that I think you're underlining from the workshop was that everything we do is about practicing being in awareness. And what conditioning can do sometimes is take all of those practice, the commitments, the focuses, the everything we do, quote, do in practice, and keep us stuck in the content. And what this workshop was a direct experience of was taking it and practicing with that whole big thing of practice commitments in a way that guides us directly to the process of it.
And guided to see that through these absolutely brilliant questions. And I won't give the workshop away, but maybe if I give a concrete example of what I saw, that will give a sense of what we're trying to point to here. Does that sound good? So I chose to work with a commitment that I'd been having. I noticed that I wasn't keeping it, right? And it's a new commitment, and I was having, I was having difficulty. It's hard to know which tense to use now because it's all changed after Saturday. Before the workshop, I was having difficulty starting it, like getting going with it, right? And so one of the things we were invited to look at was what are we actually attempting to accomplish with this commitment, right? What in the, you know, context of in this way I do most deeply vow to train myself, what are we training with this commitment? What I saw was that the intention with this commitment, the one that I was having difficulty getting going with, is a weekly writing commitment. And the reason the commitment came up and that I want to do it is that it's a really specific, concrete way of training to be present to presence, just training to listen for life guidance and keep that channel open, right, for life to express. And what I saw that I had been practicing with it unconsciously that I hadn't seen before the workshop was that I was in this conditional process of if I can keep this commitment, that will make me good. I'm not already, it's a conditional thing, right? And if I do it, that will somehow make me good. And this whole ego world underneath that of to, you know, to be able to be supported, I need to earn it, right? I need to be someone that I'm not already. I need to be better. I need to work
harder.
Yeah,
and if I can keep this, and if I can keep this commitment, then I will. That will that will get me on the path to being good. That will show that I'm good.
Right.
And which was like, not at all the heart's desire in making the commitment in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It wasn't what the intention was to train with, but it was what I was unconsciously training in, or what was operating me, and that I hadn't been able to see. And that's kind of to loop back to where we started, right? To be able to see that instead of be seeing through it and be controlled by it, be operated by it. And then, of course, there was all of this energy freed up with that of, like, well, I'm in a process of training, and there's conscious awareness now around what I choose to be training in with this commitment. And because it's a process of training, not about the content, then what's the smallest step I can start to train with to start this commitment? Because, of course, in that other ego world of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, then this thing, because it's conditional and because, you know, the whole point is that I'm never going to be allowed to do it, it gets made into this big deal. And so, of course, all of the things go with that, like, well, not enough time, right? Because there's never enough time for something that's a really big deal.
So let me catch up, because you're making some wonderful points. I want to make sure I'm with you. So the so the first thing that was so helpful was, I just got this image of just peeling away the layer of suffering that gets laid on top of our practice, of our commitments, period. And that suffering is around taking us away from the intention behind the commitment in the first place and layering on all this conditional stuff. You know, it'll mean this or it'll mean that, or I'll get this or I won't get that. And and it really pulls us further and further away from our heart's intention, which was in this case, in your case, a practice presence, being present to presence. And then once, so then you saw a lot of energy release when you can, when we reconnect to the original intent, to the goodness that is already inherent. Boy, there's a lot of energy there, isn't there? It's, you know, it's only when ego is successful in kind of separating us from that, which is of course explains why most commitments don't work. We can't keep them, or they don't. They drain us, or we get, you know, whatever, because we've somehow fallen for the bamboozle of getting separated from the true hearts. What is indeed what we want to practice and train with. And then the second point that you make was the taking the really small steps. So not to fall for the ego bamboozle of, okay, I'm gonna, you know, write 80 pages every night or whatever it is, you know, and then that's going to really prove that I'm present to present, you know. But to what is the smallest, and say more about that, you're going on with, what is the smallest increment that I can, something like that.
Yeah, well, one line a week, right? Because it's really, it's like So in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. What I most deeply vow to train myself in is presence. And what this workshop assisted with was revealing another barrier to presence, right? And so then I get to practice the process of presence. And because it's not about the content of this thing, then I get to train in, with this commitment, one line a week for maybe a month, and just see what happens, right? And there's just such a thrill and such joy in that whole process, right? How all of that got to be revealed. Because all we're, you know, ever training in is presence. And so, like, I guess the joy of having that barrier revealed, thing that was getting in between, in the way of me just practicing presence with this commitment.
Yeah.
It was an amazing workshop.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing workshop. It really, the thing that keeps dropping in is it reclaims the content of life for the practitioner by being in the process of life. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it by looking at it in the way that we are, we get to have our practice commitments, and we get to have them in the purest sense, which is in the process of training to be present and let that serve us in that way. You know, it's just so, I don't know, I find it kind of subtle and at the same time, what you're saying, absolutely thrilling and energizing.
Yeah, thrilling and energizing and just deep gratitude for all of the presence that went into putting that workshop together, right? That the questions and what we were guided through, there was just such clarity and for us all to get
and the
to
quotes and everything. Yeah. Well, I see we're at the top of the hour, Anna, and so thank you so much for helping us kind of, for those of us that were there, kind of relive it and get to experience that again and deepen our own experience of it by hearing it and being present to your experience. And just to also mention that was a fundraiser for benefiting Living Compassion Africa. And so just such a heart-opening experience for all of us to get to participate in a way that just win all the way around. So thank
truly,
you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Was there anything you wanted to add before we go?
Well, just quickly that, you know, as if that all wasn't fun enough, that it was a fundraiser for Cantalumba. And how the workshop was just such a, like, seed, that those tools are now tools and questions and ways of looking at commitments that I can train with. And so it just, it's like expanding that toolkit. And, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. We are so fortunate, aren't we? Thanks, Anna.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Michael? Bye-bye. Michael, to you. Thanks.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Sorry about that.
That was
technical challenge there.
Yeah. Hey, computers, you know, they do what they want.
Yes. And as you may know, there's a disagreement going on between Start Meeting and AT&T, and I'm an AT&T caller and trying to use
I can help you with that, Michael. Let's talk after the show. I can help you with that.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay,
I got a
good.
Better thing for
Excellent.
You. All right.
Excellent.
Leave evil behind.
Leave evil behind. Great. I have announcements here unless you'd like to respond to that wonderful news update.
I would like to respond to that. I would definitely like to respond to that because here's what I got out of that little conversation. And that is that everybody who wasn't in that workshop is probably were I wasn't. And I feel myself to be a victim to circumstances beyond my control. So I am really hoping that with that, all of that, that's going to be offered again. Because, holy, I mean, it's like, the keys to the kingdom and sorry you weren't there.
Yes.
Yeah, did you kind of feel that way too? Or were you there?
Yes. Yes, no, I was not there, and it sort of reminds me of, hearing about the best retreat ever, which is, of course, every retreat, and I'm not at every retreat.
right, yeah. And it was so perfect because, best retreat, you go, okay, being on retreat is great, and yeah, they were all great, but this sounded like, and then we learned this, and then we saw that, and then we got this, and then we got that, and there we are. It's like, I want to be there. Yeah. So I bet if people, I'm going to watch out for it. I encourage other people to watch out for it too, because I'm going to put a lot of pressure on, could we do that again, please? Yeah.
Yes. That sounds like a great plan.
Mm-hmm. All right, announcements.
Yes. Announcements. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, if you're an AT&T caller and having trouble getting in, we encourage you to use the Start Meeting app and to choose dial in using the internet.
Yes,
and I hope
and
you have more,
you
more luck than I did.
Right, you can contact AT&T and continue to apply pressure because people are doing that. It's pre-conferencing and Start Meeting, and you know they're just blocking everybody out. So,
I see.
Yeah, contact them and express your displeasure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And coming up, if you happen to be in need of clarity around some challenging content in your life, the upcoming Socratic email class with you, Sherry, is for you. Mm-hmm. Participants will choose their focus for the class, and we'll have 6 interactions with Sherry. And the class begins this Saturday, February 1st.
Yes. So hop the onzi.
Hop on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are already meditating in the morning or wish to start, why not enjoy the extra boost of meditating with Sangha? Virtual meditation groups provide 30-minute conference call meditation sessions that include the daily recollection and meditation bells from the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
For a full schedule of virtual groups, visit the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage at livingcompassion.org. And for these and other 2020 practice offerings, visit livingcompassion.org.
You know, Michael, I wonder if people are going to run into the same, not that you know the answer to this, but the same issue with those that we're all running into with, or a lot of folks are running into with the, yeah. So
yes. Yes.
If so, I guess contact the Yes Master or information or whoever is in charge of those things, and we'll get the word out about how to get around it.
Yes. I think information at livingcompassion.org is always a good place to start.
Good.
Contact the guest master.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And
thank
if
you,
you'd
sir.
Like to talk, you're welcome. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic that's about 5 minutes in length is great. Okay, Sherry, I think that covers it for now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go, huh?
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Miriam. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome, Miriam.
Well, thank you. I did not expect to get on. I'm sitting here, and I'm so nervous.
Don't be nervous.
First of all, I want to...
Don't you love that kind of response? Don't
yes,
be nervous.
I do.
Well, now, if I knew how not to be nervous, I wouldn't be nervous.
That's true.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to express the deepest gratitude for your books, for Open Air, for everyone who calls and shares their experiences.
Oh, isn't it the truth?
It has changed my life.
Oh, I'm fond of saying that's all we ask, Marian. That's all we ask.
I have a friend who mentioned one of your books to me in October 2018. I came home. I bought it on the Kindle. I read it within 24 hours. Then I ordered another one, and then I decided to buy them on the paper copies. And I work with them every day. I reference them continuously. I've been doing the 30-day retreat over and over and over. I'm doing the Big Bamboozle.
Good for you.
And it is wonderful. And
it is life as we always suspected it could be, right?
Yes.
You know, when we're dissatisfied or when we're in suffering or we're unhappy or whatever it is, we know that something else is possible and we just can't manage to get to it. And then when we find it, it's like, yes, yes.
Yes. It's like that expression, when the student is willing, the teacher appears.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
There you are, and there is all of Sangha. And
yep.
I listen.
Here
you are. And I listened to in the open air archives on my way to and from work. And I
wow.
was listening today to October 25th, 2016. And
uh-huh.
I believe it was Rob talking about the far flung members, practitioners.
Uh-huh.
So I'm
mm-hmm.
one of them.
Yes. Yes, you are. Yes.
Yes.
So when we talk about here's Sangha, here we are. Here
yes.
we are, and you know that's you. That's you, too. That's all of us.
And that's why I felt compelled to try to call in today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you did.
And I
yeah.
did.
And, yes, and, you know, the power of that, which is what you're pointing out, is that there are other people doing the same thing
yes.
who are listening, but they don't feel like they're, you know, it's like I'm listening to this group. I'm listening to these other people, and they're doing that thing. And they're afraid to call in. They're too nervous to call in. And so what you're saying is, no, go ahead and do it, because that lets everyone know, number one, that you're out there, and it gives courage to other people who value the conversation with Sangha that happens every week and hearing from all those other practitioners and hearing from you. It takes all of us.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm signed
yeah.
up for the email class. I'm really looking forward
oh,
to
excellent.
It.
Excellent.
I am
oh,
I'm
good.
Just curious. I'm choosing as my content. I have a very hard time letting go of resentment.
Oh, uh-huh.
So is
that's
that
a good one.
It is?
That's a good one.
Okay.
Oh,
cool.
That's a good one.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'll just tell you this little thing
yeah.
That is, you know, whatever, but it drops in because you said that. My teacher used to say periodically when the subject came up, if there were one word for women, it would be resentment. If there were one word for men, it would be arrogance.
I am woman, hear me roar.
Isn't that interesting, though, to realize
yeah.
that it's such a shared, these things are such shared karma. And as you've noticed, they can, conditioned mind can get hold of something like that and do its best to ruin your life over it. So,
oh,
yes.
Oh, my, yes. Yeah,
yeah
and,
letting
and
go of it.
It's funny that you say that for men, arrogance, because I always refer to ego when I'm writing as he.
Uh-huh. Well, uh-huh.
That's interesting.
Yeah. 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 It'll be interesting to see, you know, as you continue to practice, there'll
mm-hmm.
be insights about why that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one other thing, not as commercial, but you probably certainly know about this, but I think I offer it because I think you would really enjoy it. In March, around the 10th or something like that, we're going to start another year-long retreat.
Okay.
Where we get together. Where do you're on the East Coast? I can't remember
oh,
what Michael
my
said.
I'm a little pinprick on the eastern coast of Canada.
On the eastern coast of Canada.
Yeah. I'm about 3 hours east of the main border. At the main New Brunswick border.
Good. Grief.
Yeah.
What do they call that? The middle of the ocean?
No. I call it paradise. But it's a little town called Cascapedia St. Jules on the Gaspé Coast.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
well, that's,
so that's
very exciting.
So that's how far flung your teachings
yeah.
are.
You are flung out there, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's
yeah.
great. All right. Well, so we would be having lunch with you every day. And
yes.
Because it's 9 o'clock Pacific time. So if you can join us, because it is a good time and it is a transformative experience. So
I will. I'll check it out.
All right.
So, again,
thank you so much.
deepest gratitude to everyone involved. You've changed my life. Or you've helped me change my life.
That's right. You did all the work. We just get to stand around and applaud.
And share the tools.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Miriam. Good night.
Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I said I didn't know what Michael said, but you didn't say it, did you? She said it. She said something
said
about
what?
Where she was. Where she was calling from.
Yes, Eastern Canada.
Yeah. But I couldn't remember when she came on, if I heard something about the East Coast or not. Anyway, that was very fun.
Yeah, it was very fun. It was fun for me to hear such enthusiasm from far flung, and sounds like it all landing, and it's such a beautiful experience. I know for me when it all lands.
Yes, and excuse me. The thing that is so thrilling to me about that is that when we do stay with practice, it's like any good relationship. It just gets deeper and stronger as time goes on.
Yes. Exactly.
Hang on a minute.
It's good.
One minute.
Yeah. Take your time.
Wow. I'm trying to choke myself here. Okay.
Yes, so it's as you were saying, it's a great relationship, and then it just gets greater and greater and greater. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and of course we get sidetracked and we get talked into thinking that we don't need to do it, or we get distracted by something or whatever. But if we just stay with it, then it's you have that honeymoon period, and then it does turn into a relationship, and then before long, you're in the honeymoon period again. And then it's a relationship. and we just keep going that way, and it just gets better and better and better. Life gets better and better and better. Yeah. Or I guess life is always better, but we get with life instead of ego, and that's what makes it better for us.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, definitely. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael and Sherry. It's Patty from the other far-flung Canada, Vancouver.
The other side of Canada.
Okay. That was so fun. I was just right there with her in this enthusiasm for this practice. And I remember when 3 years ago I started the year-long retreat, and about two or three times I couldn't even speak when it said, "You may now ask your question." I didn't say a word, and I finally admitted that. And I remember either the person after me said, "I can relate to that." So admitting it,
we've all done
being
that
in Sangha, and just, you know, where I am now compared to then is just, I don't know, it's just delightful.
It really is.
And I'm in withdrawal from the daily workshops and talking and hearing Sangha.
I know. Something like 40 days to go.
Yeah.
We'll all be back together again. Good Lord willing, we go, right?
And there have been times when I have put my I put myself in the queue, and ego's go, you don't. And when I hear your voice and how friendly you are to everyone, like, well, hello and welcome. It's like, well, how can you be an ego with that? You know, there's such kindness and friendliness and guidance.
And the comparison is startling, isn't it? That what ego would tell us.
Yeah.
I just said this recently. I don't know where, so if it was here, sorry about that. But one of the monks used to say, So I would be at the monastery, and then I'd be away traveling or doing whatever I was doing. And he said, the Sherry who is here when you're gone is really different from the Sherry who is here when you're here. The one that's here when you're gone is really mean. And the one that's here when you're here is really kind. And, of course, what he was describing was ego making a case against practice. You know, against practice, against the teacher. And why are you here? Why are you practicing when that ogre is so mean to you all the time? And then we have our own direct experience. And it's like, well, that actually doesn't seem to be happening. So it's good.
And you know, I've signed up for everything this month, you know, everything that was available to support Africa, I'm in. And, you know, it's been so helpful to remember to just show up, to just practice, keep practicing, because I have so many successes of awareness and being present and of recognizing ego when I do that.
Yes, absolutely.
So I had a, I would call it practice success to, no, I guess it happened yesterday. And I was speaking to my daughter, and the small voice is going, is this the right time? Do you really want to say this? And I didn't heed that. I didn't listen to that. And I carried on. And, of course, my daughter, who's on the other end of it, said, you know, I really, she didn't want to hear what I had to say. And I was ungrounded and just too excited and not really present. And what I did with that, I went to yoga class, and the real success was ego wanted to just jump in there and how bad, wrong, mistake, everything I was. And I just felt in my body, I felt, oh, there's nothing wrong here. I'm just here doing yoga. Oh. Mm-hmm. And it was very palpable just leaving ego behind and saying no. And then getting in the car after the yoga class, doing the two-handed recording, saying everything I needed to say for myself about my experience and hearing back. And so it was just a wonderful set of steps that I'm building to stay with her and take care of her.
Yeah. It was a little workshop, right?
It was.
A little mini workshop. There was a voice saying, are you sure that you want to do this? And you didn't listen. Okay, well, that's what you got to see.
Right.
And is it painful? Do we have that little glitch of, well, I really do wish I'd listened. Yes. And and this is how we learn.
I'll have another chance.
Exactly.
And maybe
so.
Next time I'm going to listen to that voice and go, okay, pause, wait a minute. And I'll have another chance with my daughter, because she's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. We'll still have a relationship.
That's right.
We'll keep trying.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, of course, the thing that I think is so powerful about that, I don't know where your daughter is, obviously, in her own personal development, but that's great role modeling. You know, to see your mother practicing in that way, taking responsibility, showing up, learning, attempting to let go of what's unskillful and to be present and open-hearted and loving. And that's kind of the best we can offer our children.
Yeah.
I
haven't had a conversation since then with her, but I think, you know, it'll come across of the work that I'm doing, and our further conversations will be different.
Yes. Get better and better and better, and at some point she'll let you know she's noticed, and that's a great moment.
Yeah, without me having to spell it out. Yeah.
That's right. Without you having to say, do you notice I'm different? Have you noticed how much I'm different?
Yeah.
Have you noticed how I'm not needy anymore?
And the good fortune to be in the email class is I can work with this.
That's exactly right. We can talk about it.
I know.
Yeah.
So it's timely and a good topic for me. And just like the last caller, I am in such gratitude for Guide, for Sangha, for everybody who calls in, even if they don't even say a word, you know, and others learn, you know, and it's just amazing.
It really is. So when the Buddha left us with awakening, enlightenment, the practice, and the people who practice, we can see why he thought the people who practice were of equal importance to the other two.
Yeah.
Because without the people who practice together, unlikely that we would be going anywhere.
No. I would not be. I would not be where
we
I am
wouldn't
if it
be.
Weren't for Sangha.
No.
For sure.
No. No.
Yeah.
No, we would not.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Patty.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Patty. Gratitude and more gratitude, huh, Sherry?
That's where we live. That's where we all live.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a fabulous place to live. And we are going to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, Sherry, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right.
Build compassionate discipline into your life with Zen Awareness Coaching. Weekly calls and email check-ins provide support and accountability for waking up and ending suffering. Coaching assists us to recognize conditioned patterns and direct attention to what we want for our lives instead. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Get a Zen Awareness Coach and choose to make a change for good for your practice and your life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right. I just got an interesting text message, too, that before we say goodnight, we'll get an update on that text, okay?
Okay.
Not now.
Okay.
Before we...
Okay.
All right, good. All right, here we go. Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Hello, this is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Beth in Pittsburgh. Can you hear me?
Hello, Beth in Pittsburgh. We can hear you loud and clear. How
okay.
you doing?
Well, you're in the headlights. We're getting on.
Uh-huh.
I've been calling in since the beginning, but the nervousness is just part of it.
Right. So you've been with us for years and years and years, and that's still that you are unmuted message gets the heart rate going, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had something particular I wanted to look at. But about 10 minutes before I called in, I got a text from a client who I thought everything was going well, and they want their key back. So it's just like in that first, there's just, yeah, I mean, well, you know, I chose this line of work, and that's just one of the things that happens. Willingness is the key. And if, you know, there's no willingness, then you can't be there. Yeah.
It's kind of a blow, though, isn't it? Kind of a gut check or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, well, you know, just staying with that kind of like feeling of it and trying to stay away from what a bad person I am. If I were the right person, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. True ego hogwash.
Yeah. He takes like the grain of whatever it is and, you know, it's hard enough to stay with, but which is actually kind of what I wanted to look at. I've been talking with somebody who tells me that I need to, like, work on my desire to do something. If I want it bad enough, I can do it. And I think it's the same kind of thing, is that there's a grain of truth there, and it is so much nicer when I want what's on my plate. But it's not willingness. Not the same thing as willingness. And it seems that it's a cousin to believing something.
Can you say a little bit more about that, Beth?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was raised to believe things. It's, you know, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus loves me. And I've begun to see that having beliefs is divisive and unkind.
Uh-huh.
And it also
believing that Jesus loves you is kind of one category of beliefs, right? And
yeah.
What you're saying is it's dualistic, right? So it's going to come with the opposite. So it's possible that Jesus won't love you, and possibly Jesus doesn't love you because of X, Y, or Z, and certainly Jesus might not love that person, or might love that person more. So the belief comes with a lot of stuff hanging on to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's closed. There's no possibility for anything else.
Yeah. You know, Beth, I want to hear everything that you have to say about this, but what just dropped in. No, I do. So I don't want to derail you at all, but what just dropped in was I wish that the message was love Jesus.
Ha.
You know, if we got that, if you're going to quote believe something, then believe that what you can do, what you want to do, what it's really good to do, what makes your life happy to do, is to love Jesus.
Ha. Huh. Okay.
Because then, you know, then that duality goes out. Now, of course, that doesn't mean self-hate wouldn't come in and say, well, you didn't really love Jesus there. You know, there would be that, but at least we would be striving for something to give rather than attempting to qualify in order to get.
If I love Jesus, I love center.
Yeah. Yeah. You love Jesus, you love God, you know, then your focus is on love. Right? What you're doing in life, what you're practicing in life is loving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, that
and
was kind
really
of a little derail.
Want
so.
That.
Yes. Well, we do want that, Beth. We all do. And it's what we started out on this call with, right? We know at the deepest part of us, that is what is true, that love is what is true, that love and happiness are synonyms, and that is what we want. What we so often don't realize without some practice is that's what we are. That's why we want it. We want it because it's what we are. And that when we get into these other places, they feel so bad and we're so unhappy because we're not being true to who we are, to what we are. That's why we suffer, because we've been made to believe that we're separate from what we are.
This is so humbling. And it's willingness to be that.
Yes, to practice that. To, you know what, Beth?
Yeah.
To me, I think the hardest part for most people that I know, because most people I know are really, really good people, the hardest part is to accept that, to let go the ingrained self-hatred and acknowledge that what you are is goodness, is love, that's what you are. And everything else that goes on is
foreign. It's extraneous. It's an add-on. It's not authentic. It's not legitimate. And to really acknowledge that, not just the lip service, you know, you're a child of God, or even Jesus loves you, but, you know, to actually feel that love and let that love be the center of your life, as it is the center of your being.
Yes, thank you, and I love you. Ah, please.
Shall we go back to that other conversation, or did we cover?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been working with yes, thank you, I love you, yes, please, thank you, I love you for a long time, but I just got it. I love you is...
That's it.
It's not personal.
That's right. And it's the whole deal, isn't it?
I just forgot.
And then we get to go around, you know, from that, well, I think it's the, you know, kind of the deepest part of every religion and spirituality, but that realization that love and goodness is the authentic nature of life. So where I am currently, there aren't a lot of birds, I guess because it's winter, and in this part of the world there aren't a lot of birds. But there are crows. Well, no, not I wasn't going there. I'm sure they'll be here in the spring, but right now. But there are crows. Okay?
Yeah.
And I've never really attended to crows the way I could, because there are so many other birds, and, you know, they're just crows. But they're all that I've got. And so I've just fallen in love with them. And one of the great delights of my day is watching crows walk. If you've never watched crows walk, I encourage you to take up that practice, because they are the most delightful appearance of that authenticity, you know, that in form, the emptiness of the Buddha talked about in form, you know. You'll look at them, and then you'll tell me what you see, and then to the trees, and then to the sky and the clouds and the stars and the moon and the it's everywhere.
What's here? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you feel it.
Yeah.
You feel it in your heart, in the center of your being. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
So,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You go happy, okay?
Again and yet again. Thank you.
All right. Good night, Beth.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And sounds like love is who we are, Sherry. And our work is to remember that.
That's right. Yeah. And to, you know, it's such a clear, ever-present practice. We practice loving. You know, there's a poem and, you know, I'm not good at this. So it was in the Mystic Poets retreat. Mm. And the poet was talking about how do you deal with sadness. And it was let your hands touch something that makes your eyes smile, something like that. I bet there are hundreds of those objects around you. And that's where it's pointing at, you know, that once we realize that love is the force of everything, then just everything around us is love. And, you know, when you're surrounded by love, you can't, what are you going to do? You got to love. You got it. Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gail from Flagstaff.
Hey, Gail.
Hi.
What's going on?
I just, like everybody else, I've just been rolling with all the workshops this month and, you know, catching up on the Making a Change for Good recordings, and can't wait for the email class. And it's just like insight after insight after insight keeps rolling in every day.
And that's something.
And it was like, yeah. Oh, I wanted to tell, you know, every day it's like, oh, I want to tell Sherry that I just saw this and I just saw this and I'm sitting here, I don't remember any of them, you know.
But you're shining brighter and brighter every day.
Oh, yes. And
right? Like, even yeah. though, because yeah. it doesn't matter that we don't remember what they are. All they were was a moment of brightness, a moment of light,
yes.
right? A reflection of our presence. And so there you are, and just getting happier and happier. And
yeah. you said one somewhere, I don't know where you said it, but that when you can build the importance of recording and listening and is to remember what you did so you can build on it so you don't have to keep reinventing
yes.
the wheel. And I think that
yes.
happened the last 2 months because I've been doing all kinds of practice every day. Because I have, you know, all these archives
yes.
and then workshops and then the recording and listening. And, you know, and so it's just like gaining more and more momentum. And then it comes back around and with another layer. And, oh, so I remember what I wanted to tell you. So one of the things in the Making a Change for Good class that I found so helpful was when we were talking about dualisms and then using what's true.
Uh-huh.
Asking that. So what I'm seeing everywhere now, and I have a little like symbol that I use in my journal and stuff to catch it, is when I catch myself in a dualism, then I draw like a line through it and say what's true and sit with it. And then when we were in the Best Year Yet workshop on Sunday, and they talked about self-limiting paradigms.
Uh-huh.
And tied that, you know, I did Best Year Yet at work like 10 years ago, and it wasn't as rich as it was on Sunday with the Zen viewpoint. And all of a sudden, it was like I saw all these what's trues. There was like 50 of them. They just came rattling in and just destroying all these self-limiting paradigms, going, oh, no, I do know how to do this, and I do know this, and all these pieces came together. And that tool, out of all the stuff we learned last year's retreat, that little tool about catching a dualism and stopping and asking what's true and waiting for what drops in has been so helpful. So I want to just thank you for that.
Oh, good. Good. And I love, I really appreciate what you're saying about recording and listening because that's exactly it. So we don't have to remember any insights, which is what we used to have to try to do, right?
Right.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, all right, so I got that. All right, now I can't forget that. And, of course, we do because we get distracted and conditioning just closes it over. But you record about it, and you record the next one and the next one and the next one and that awareness and that awareness and that awareness. And then you listen to those recordings, and you go, oh, right. And, again, it's not the content of it, right? It's not that we're going to see something that's going to make us different or that's where it's the process of presence. And the image that I had recently, which is a very old one, but it's still a good one, is of going up a spiral staircase. And there's a window, right? And every time you go up another flight and you go past that window, the view is different.
Yes.
The view is different. The view is different. And that's what happens with us when we stick with practice.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway, so
love it.
Yes. Oh, and that was the other thing. The thing that's developing more and more is I'm seeing how much I really just love the mentor, and I'm only doing this because I love interacting with her. It's so much fun.
Yes. Yes. She, in your case, he, for Michael, and the guys. That presence is the unconditional love, the best friend, it's just who we've been looking for all of our lives. And one of my favorite things about that is we are no longer a burden on our loved ones, right? to be there for us or make us feel loved or help us feel appreciated or whatever it is, because that's all taken care of.
Or
then we can just
say the right thing there because I want to feel better. And they're floundering going, I have no idea what to tell you. But someone
That's exactly
does.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But that's right. The heart knows.
Yeah.
The heart knows what I need to hear.
Yeah, she's just over
it's
there
the
going,
best.
No, no, don't talk to him. Talk to me. Talk to me. I know.
Leave the poor guy alone.
Yeah.
Talk to me. Yeah. Oh, I love it. So, thank you, Gail.
Thank you so much to everyone. And, yes, like everyone says, it's so much fun listening to all of Sangha and just hearing all the different things where everybody's at. This is so much fun.
It's
thank
the
you.
Best. Yes.
That's it.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Gail. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Gail. And I do have to echo that last comment, Sherry, that it is great to be together. And it's an extraordinary privilege to be part of this Sangha and deeply satisfying. And I'm super duper grateful.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, when we talk about the mentor as that best friend, unconditional loving presence in our lives, Sangha is the family that a lot of people always wanted and didn't have. You know, it's not that we don't still love our relatives and that and our friends, but it's a different kind. It's a different relationship. And when Gail just said, you know, I love hearing where everybody is. That's it. You know, it's like we get together and, oh, so-and-so is having that experience. You know, and we listen to one another go through difficult times and then have great successes and be really happy and struggling and whatever is going on. And we're all here together for one another.
Yes. Right. Yes, it's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Christina in Southern California.
Well, hello, Christina. How are you?
Hello. Hello, I'm doing great. I got on the show late today, so... I don't know if people have talked about the weekend activities and workshops that we had, but
we had some reference to the commitments, and we had a little reference to the best year yet. In general, people practicing with it sounds like most of the activities and having a really good time. How about you?
Yeah. Oh, right there with everyone. And then I think I'll talk about the yoga. So it was one of those things where on Saturday I was talking about incorporating a little bit of yoga and breathing in particular into my morning practice. And then the very next day, of course, I have someone from Sangha leading a very similar practice to what I was looking for. And it's just been so beautiful because now since then I've had two mornings where I've been able to, to follow that. I mean, I don't spend an hour doing yoga as lovely as that was, but just some of those practices, being able to use them again, I was so appreciative. And I know after the practice on Sunday, I thought, is there any way that we could get the lovely Sangha member who led that practice to put one online for us?
Well, funny you should ask, Christina. Funny you should ask.
Okay.
Because let me tell you a little story. And I know our lovely yoga teacher would not mind me telling this story, okay? So, you know, she has a studio where she lives and students who come on a regular basis. And what she doesn't have is anything set up for if she has to go out of town or if she doesn't feel well, which happened. So her only option was to go in and teach when she was really sick. And we agreed, she and I, that that's not kind. And yet what do you do? Because people are counting on you. You know, they've paid for these classes because in her structure, they pay so much for a month and they can come as much as they want. And so then she's not there, and, you know, what do you do? And I said, well, I don't know, but something has to happen, because that's like being held hostage. No matter how much you love your work and your students and that sort of thing, if you have to crawl off your sick bed to go try to teach, you know, that's not good. And so the very day somebody, one of her students emailed her and said, how about if you make some videos, and then if you get called out of town or you're sick or you can't come to class, we can watch you teach a video class.
Yeah.
And I said, let me tell you, yoga teacher, Sangha is going to be really excited about that possibility. So, yes. You get the technology part of that down. And I think, you know, because we are very understanding people, we're very, we're not going to hold somebody to Hollywood production standards. You know, we just want that teacher there to walk us through a class, like the kind we get when we're on retreat or that she did with people on the weekend. And so she's on it. Now she is sick, and so she's not on it today. But that keep tuned, because that's going to be coming out before very long.
Oh, lovely. Isn't that good? Yes.
You want that, and then it's offered the next day, right? There's a miracle. And then you realize, I would like that all the time. Okay, well, then you can have that all the time. We live in a miracle, don't we?
We really do. We're very lucky people. Very lucky people.
And now, and I'm so, I happen to know you're breathing. So that's good.
Right, exactly. Nice deep breath.
Did you say you're not feeling well too?
I did not, no. Although I just started feeling a tickle this evening. So no, I'm feeling great.
Ouch.
In fact, I'm feeling fantastic. I mean, after last weekend.
Good.
Yeah, no, I, believe me, I'm in good health, and I'm hoping to stay that way.
Good.
So thank you.
All right. Yes.
You
exactly.
sound like you're good
exactly.
too.
So. And I'm, I am. I am. Everybody that I know is not. And so, here's some wood. Who can say? But as I said to that same yoga teacher just today, with the Socratic email class starting in just a couple of days, I would really like to stay healthy if I can.
Yeah.
I always kind of do this. If I can just stay healthy through that, I don't mind getting sick afterwards. That's where I always go with retreats. If I could just stay healthy through this retreat, I don't mind getting sick after. And think, now that sounds a little like bargaining or something. But
right.
But okay.
Indeed it does.
But if it works,
whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's really good to hear your voice. I haven't heard yours in the new year yet, so it's lovely to hear you, and thank you.
Well, thank you, and before I let you go, because you're one of the folks referring to the weekend, I got a text from Jen that said, just checked, and campaign is at 95, where did it go? Come back here, 95,500. Closes at the end of this week. So
we are close.
Isn't that something? Yeah, really super close. And as I keep pointing out, it's not like when it closes at the end of the week, we cannot give any more money to Cantaloupe. but what an extraordinary thing that with the efforts that everybody has put in, and of course the practice opportunities got a lot of press, but that's only because of trying to let people know they were going on. I mean, just so many people doing fundraisers, all kinds of things all over the world, really. And there we are. So,
pretty
darn
thank you for that
huh?
reminder. I'm going to go and look at some of the other things people have been doing on there's a webpage, right? You can look at everybody's fundraiser.
Yeah.
I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I don't know.
Well, how do you think I feel? Meaning to say, you know, Christina, I don't know. But I do know who we can find out from. And I do know that there's another support call coming up sometime, you know,
oh,
soon.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and so that's still – oh, see, I knew if I just yammered on here long enough, somebody would send me a text and tell me what I need to know. Michael can unmute me if he wants. That's Jan. So, Michael, we do want you to unmute Jan.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, hold on 1 second here. Find Jen. That looks like Jen.
Hello, well, Jen. Well done, Michael.
Well done. No, he is good, isn't he? I think he's done this before.
He's the maestro of the... Yeah, indeed. I will say, Sherry, that the practice opportunities were wildly successful. Many thousands of dollars were brought in by those practice opportunities.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And,
oh, I'm so glad.
And yeah, the fundraisers. So, Christina, the I think probably the most fun thing that I love to check out anyway is to hop on... Well, okay, so the easiest way to go to it is if you just go to our website, Living Compassion, and go to the Africa section. And then at the top of the Africa section, there's the Get Involved tab. And the first option under the Get Involved tab is 2019 Bridgewalk. And that takes you to the overall campaign page. And if you kind of look through there, that's kind of fun to look through anyway. That has the stories on it and that kind of thing. But there's a link on there that says our cool fundraising platform. And if you click that, that takes you to that platform where everyone made their fundraising pages and, you know, had their sent it off to their friends and had their goals there. And that shows you the little progress bar. It shows that's where the 95,500 bar.
But, Jen? Christina was wondering about, like, things that other people were doing. Is she going to find that there?
So do you mean, Christina,
ideas
like,
for?
Oh, okay. Yeah. There on the back on that original page that I was talking about where you'll find the link to the cool fundraising platform, there's a link that says, I forget exactly what it's called, but you'll see it, like, cool ideas or something like that. Like, for example, one person did this real – this really neat thing where she took one of the beautiful photographs and made bookmarks, and she generously gave us the PDF form that so anyone now can find those. It's on like an 8x11 format, and you can print that. I think it's like 6 bookmarks and cut them out, and she's been giving them.
God, they are beautiful.
Aren't they?
Oh,
my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to look.
The other thing that isn't there, partly because there have been, as Sherry said, so many of us not feeling so great, so we're a little behind where we were going to be this week. But there's an email in the works that's going to go out just saying thank you and announcing the call that we're hoping to have on Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, to just thank everyone and celebrate together. And on that is going to have a reminder with a link to, there are several folks, including someone that we spoke to just today from Canada, who have put things up on that Bridgewalk Market site, some beautiful pottery that people can order. They're really neat, like salves that someone handmade, you know, like moisturizing salves and for joints and that
herbalist.
Kind of thing. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's so many amazing things up there.
Yeah.
And so the link to that is still will be on that next email.
Lovely. Yeah. So nothing like waiting to the last week to go in and and engage, but I'm really happy to do it. I'm looking forward
you
to
know
it.
This is the, first week of the rest of our Cantaloupe. So
that's
perfect
right.
Timing.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's perfect timing.
That's what moves the needle over the finish line because, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that last week. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Jen. And
thank you,
Christina.
Christina.
Yeah, thank
and
you
thank
all.
You, Michael, because I think we're over our time.
Yes. Yes, it's been fabulous.
Fun show, though. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Jen, thank you, Christina.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And we'll do it again and go happy.
Let's all right. Thank you, Michael. Yes, go happy, Michael and everybody.
All right. Good night.